What's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays? Decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa? Got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments? Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels? Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
This is Pucks in 7 with Ryan Payton and Victoria Matias.
Episode 5 of this 24-25 NHL campaign. Sorry, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Yes, thank you, Vic. I was correct. I thought, what is she? Am I wrong? I did say 5, didn't I? We're, of course, brought to you by Sprott Money. We know every dollar counts. Excited to team up with Sprott Money this season, Canada's leading precious metals dealer. Since 2008, they've been the go-to for investing in physical gold, silver, and platinum. Whether you're just starting out or have an established portfolio, Sprott Money has you covered. Use promo code PUCKSIN7 for $10 off your first purchase. Visit SprottMoney.ca. That's S-P-R-O-T-T, money.ca. Give them a call as well, 1-888-861-0775. I should say this, happy belated Thanksgiving to you, as it was Thanksgiving in this country, Canada, over the weekend.
And happy to you as well. Well, we just call it Thanksgiving here. That's a Peter Burst joke from NHL.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah. Nothing but happy about it, people.
it was a long weekend for both us here up in Canada and in the States as well, but now we're getting back to business and lots of cooking and lots of eating and lots of undoing pants later on at night.
Right. Hey, that's the sign of a good Thanksgiving.
It is.
And
it
that's
is.
The worst part, because then you're really not happy when you start undoing the pants. Anyway, Brian Metzer going to join us later on. He'll be our guest on this program. We'll go 77 seconds with Mets. We'll talk Penguins, as he's front and center of the Penguins since, in fact, Crosby came on board. So he's been at this thing for about 19 or 20 years, which is awesome. We'll dive into the East, go through the seven pressing issues and things that we have come up with over the last few days. But let's begin with the West. And people will see this. That's the sheet of paper. And on this side is those are watching. I don't know if you can see it. There you go. So Vic sends out the lineup. We talk about some topics that we can discuss. And she sends the lineup out, print it out. And then at least we have some sort of rhythm as to how to go through this show. First two topics Vic has, she uses one word or two words. And it's uh-oh. Uh-oh, Avs, and uh-oh, Oilers. Couldn't have said it better myself.
It is concerning. It is a concerning start to the season. We're not going to use the P word. We already agreed that. Nobody's panicking. Mm-mm. It's three games. But considering how many pundits and fans and broadcasters had picked the Oilers to go as far as the Stanley Cup final, or the Avalanche in the case of Mr. Ryan Payton, or the Avalanche.
To win
so
the
many
Cup.
Of us. So many of us have them not only making the postseason, but also advancing through the playoffs as well. And both of them off to not only 0-3 starts, Ryan, but ugly 0-3 starts. Let's start with the oil. What's going on? What's going wrong there?
Well, Vic, they have a big leak.
You know what? I'm gonna give you that one.
Thank you.
I'm gonna give you that one.
It is a huge leak, and they got to find some way to patch this thing up. Again, to use your words, no panic, no P word, nothing like that. But I think you hit the nail on the head, and that is they've scored 3 goals. They've given up 15.
Jeez.
That's a minus 12 if I do the math correctly. 6-0 to Winnipeg, 5-2 to Chicago, 4-1 to Calgary. Tonight they have the Flyers.
Yeah.
The defense has been terrible. The goaltending has been very soft. Up front, they've done nothing. That high-powered offense that led them to, you know what, last season, Game 7 against the Panthers in the Cup Final, they've only scored 3 times. This is a cumulative, disastrous start to the season for them. I don't know where you begin, but I can tell you, I think, where I'd begin. I'd begin with tonight. You got to win this one.
Against Philadelphia. Okay, we should say it is Tuesday, October the 15th, so people are listening later on the week. So they have not yet played the Flyers yet. So if you're listening later in the week and they get absolutely smoked 10-0 by the Flyers, then this conversation will be even a little bit more entertaining. They do have to beat the Flyers. It is one of those cases where you get the one victory, you're back in order, you feel better about yourself. The body language right now on that team is not great.
No,
everybody looks downtrodden.
Yeah.
The goaltending hasn't been great. The defense completely discombobulated. Darnell Nurse looks like a disaster out there. And I'm a Darnell Nurse fan. I like him as a player, but he's looking as badly as he did through parts of the postseason last year.
Mm-hmm.
They're not scoring. I thought when Jeff Skinner scored the first goal against Calgary over the weekend, I thought, okay, new Oiler scores his first goal. Now we're getting back on track. And then a couple of goals are called back. It could have been 3-0. And they fell apart. They fell apart after that. Need a win against the Flyers. This is a work in progress defense in Philadelphia, and they need to capitalize on it for sure.
Yeah, they do. Nurse needs to go to the hospital and try to get something done.
Give you that one
he really
too.
Does. So they have a huge oil leak, and then they have to get patched up in the hospital as well. Remember last season, they went 3-9-1 to begin in 13 games. They're not going to fire Chris Knobloch. I still don't believe that the turnaround last season had anything to do with firing Jay Woodcroft. I don't. This is still a good team, but they got to win that game tonight. This is big. Not a must win, but a have win. A must have. Must have, if that makes sense.
It's
close.
It's almost a must win just for their psyche. They can't lose to Philadelphia, and they can't lose.
That's all you need to know how bad the season is. When you're talking about a must win game four games in, the fourth game out of 82, you're thinking this is a must win game. Is it a must win game for Colorado as well? Their next game.
I think it's against the Bruins. Yep. Less so.
Why?
Here's the difference. I think the Avs are going to be fine. The Oilers are going to be fine, too. The Avs are going to be fine. We watched the Oilers do this last year, so we should make mention that the Oilers have also lost 3 in a row. They're not a minus 12. They're a minus 10.
The Avalanche.
They've looked really shoddy out there. They're not getting the support up front. The goaltending hasn't looked very good, whoever's been in net. And the defense has looked very non-Colorado-ish. Mm-hmm. One of the better defenses in the entire NHL has not looked like itself at all. Cale Makar is calling himself out to the press going, I shouldn't have even been on the ice.
I like
a disaster.
That. That's
I'm
good.
Paraphrasing.
He's taken it upon himself to be at least being, he's one of the leaders on the team. And if he feels like he stinks and he stunk, then he feels like he does. He'll come back.
So long as he can shake it
say,
off.
As long as he comes back.
I don't want it to stick in his head. Yeah. So it's a very similar situation. Again, Nathan MacKinnon is going to start throwing things around. He's one of the most passionate guys in the NHL. He's not going to tolerate a shoddy effort from his teammates for any extended period of time. I think this swings around rather quickly. I'm less concerned about the Avs than the Oilers, only because of what we watched with the Oilers last year. And I do worry if it is something that's just coming over from them not winning the Stanley Cup, whereas Colorado should be more fresh. And I expect also, the other thing is, Colorado's D is really good. The Oilers' D is not.
Yeah.
It's mid-length.
No, it is.
Okay? So that's a difference.
And the
as
Avalanche,
well.
I mean, they're hopefully going to get some key bodies back at some point in the near future. Not say, a goal, I go back to this when we're talking about these two teams. Any team in October, you can't win a playoff spot and secure one, but you can certainly go a long way into losing one. I'm not saying Colorado and Edmonton
sure
do that because they're too good, but I'm just saying these are points. 6 points. 2-4. Yeah, 6 points that both teams have left on the table in the first three games. I will say this too. 2022, when the Avs won the Cup, I think they started 1-4. Just keep that in mind.
And Arturi Lehkonen, like you mentioned, is coming back. Valeriy Nichushkin is expected back in November. Gabe Landeskog might be back at some point. And now you've got an entirely different looking top six. But they're still going to turn it around in the meanwhile anyway.
Last season in round one, the Avalanche, they knocked off the Winnipeg Jets. And Connor Hellebuyck had an amazing season, Vezina Trophy winning season. And at the end of that series, 5 games, 24 goals against. I remember that first game was crazy. Anyway, 24 goals against in 5 games, not Hellebuyck-like at all, not Vezina-like at all. He said this, quote, and remember where I was when I heard it, I thought, what? You're probably not going to believe when I say I was playing the best hockey of my career. Talk about...
Isn't that interesting?
Amazing.
That's so interesting.
Right? So how can you think that when you win the Vezina, an amazing 82-game season, give up 24 in 5 games, yet hard to believe I was playing the best hockey of my life. He's playing the best hockey of his life now, I guess.
Shut out the Oilers to start
the
season.
Which is not hard to do. You and I could have done that, I think, in game one.
Okay. Hey, we weren't expecting that,
right,
though.
Right. Sorry, yes.
Okay. We're just... Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl play on that team. So he still shut them out. Surrendered only the one goal to Chicago. And who was the third? Oh, surrendered only the one goal to Minnesota. Okay. not exactly offensive powerhouses. We can admit that as well, but still pretty darn impressive. You're off to the season. You played three games so far and you've only surrendered two goals and one in each game. And now we're looking now at Winnipeg Jets at top of the Central Division, which is not what many of us anticipated. I'm not going to go out too much on a tangent here, but Mark Scheifele looks awesome.
He's on pace for 180 goals or something?
But he looks good doing it too, right? But we're talking about Hellebuck. It is neat to see one of the very best in the game playing his very best. And now all of a sudden you have to rethink the Jets. Small sample size, but we're still talking about it. And rethink maybe we didn't give enough respect in the preseason to the Jets in what is a very tough division.
The numbers are incredible. They're not going to last, but he's not going to go 82-0, Hellebuck, and the Jets aren't either. Three straight wins, save percentage 976, GAA 0.66, 6.25 goals saved above expected. So good on the Jets, and I love Connor Hellebuck. I remember, too, there was a huge discussion. Remember when, Scheifele going to re-sign with the Jets? Is Hellebuck going to re-sign with the Jets? And they both did. I think they're very happy that they did at this point. The Utah Hockey Club, Vic, they lost their first game as a franchise, a team, I'll just say the 33rd team, you know what I mean, the former Arizona Coyotes. But man, they've been fun to watch.
They have been incredibly fun to watch. We should make mention that Dylan Gunther was the first star of the week. If you had laid down $10 on Dylan Gunther of the Utah Hockey Club to be the first star of the week in the first week of the season, that you would have made a little bit of bank. It's they have been a lot of fun to watch. It's been neat to finally see them with, you know, the albatross lifted off. The fact that they can now settle in and have a good time out there. And I know they got beat by New Jersey. They ran into a good defense and a good goalie. And I know that the schedule hasn't been as tough for them as it has been for other teams. We're going to give that a little bit of due as well. They're still not a playoff team to me, even watching them have all this fun. But they're not going to be an easy out every night. And that's
you know what they remind me of? They remind me of Seattle in the second season when they turned it around. The first season was as expected. But the second season, they played hard. They skated well. They were quick. And I just think, to me, and the whole mental aspect, you and I are very huge on that, and I think a lot of people are of sports, when you're having fun, and they're having fun, even though they lost their first game, but when you're having fun, it's infectious. And so many times over the years, we've talked about Arizona in a negative way, saying, oh, you know, they have these players, but can they just settle somewhere and stay in that area and just create this fan base and create some sort of identity? I think they have an identity now for the first time. Ryan Smith, the owner, and his wife have created this incredible, incredible vibe with that club. I remember they were down the draft. You and I were at the draft in Vegas, and they came up on stage. I thought, this guy's really cool. You know, he's not in some $8,000 suit or anything. He goes up. I think he was in jeans and a shirt. I think he had a hat on or something like that. And I thought, you know what? This is what this team needs, and it's really fun to see.
It has been. And watching Barrett, like, players like Barrett Hayton, right? For years, we're like, need more. Come on, buddy. All right, let's go. You know, it's time to break out now. And now you finally seeing a lot of them do it. Again, I think they're going to be a competitive team night in and night out. And it looks like they are having the time of their lives right now.
And to those people, all that they were hating on Hayton, now they're just eating their words.
No hating on Hayton.
Now they're eating their words and their thoughts. The Calgary Flames, you're high on this team. I'm not. I've not been for a while. They're one of the teams that are closest to Vic's heart. They really are. I will give them this. At least they're better than their provincial neighbors right now in Edmonton.
I heard this on another channel this morning. If you had told anybody that the two teams in Alberta, one was 0-3 to start the season and the other one was 3-0, you would not guess what the current configuration is. I love the Flames. Again, it's nice to see them 3-0. I think we still understand that they're very much a work in progress altogether in terms of Craig Conroy is rebuilding this team. But there are some pieces in play right now, and they are winning hockey games, and they do seem to be having a good time out there as well. I don't know. It has been a joy to watch to start.
No, it has
season.
Been, and I'm glad for you because you're in a much better mood when they're playing decent hockey.
Big of a fan, you know. It's just I have a soft spot for them ever since 1989. I've always had a soft spot for them for some
reason. McDonald, remember against Montreal? That
Jim Poplinski.
Oh my goodness! Yeah, hey,
If Anthony Mantha should be playing like this every darn night of his life, and we've been saying that throughout his entire career. And when he plays in this fashion, he is one of the most effective players out there. So it's great to see. It won't last because I'm not going to get fooled by him again. I have been fooled by Anthony Mantha year over year after year because he shows these, but hopefully he shows these bright spots. And then he falls off again. But hopefully he can sustain it for the sake of the Flames, the sake of his line mates, because that line is just cooking right now. It's so
and I don't
we'll
know
see.
If you meant to say that, but Flames cooking right now. See the
no,
see?
I didn't. See, I can.
It's infectious.
I can do it
just happens through the computer. I'm in your mind.
Is it infectious? Or is it contagious?
It's a whole bunch of things.
Am I
you're, yeah,
it?
You're good though. It's a good thing to get. Trust me. Well, for most people, maybe not. Quickly, after Sunday's win against Edmonton, the Flames were tied atop the league with 16 goals. 9 different players had scored at least 2, 14 different players collecting points. So if it's not a team effort, those stats certainly say yes, it's a team effort. It's also a team effort in Vegas. I really think Vegas, Vic, and I may be in the minority in this, they have a chip on their shoulder this year. I really do. It's not like a lot of people are picking them not to make the playoffs and all that stuff. They're a very good hockey team still, but they made some changes. They, of course, lost Jonathan Marchessault being one of them. But, man, they are off to a great start, and I'm not surprised.
Okay, I'm not surprised either. But they caught the Avalanche off guard with the first game, with the first win. They trounced them. I think they scored 8 goals in that game. They beat the Blues. Okay. Then they beat the Ducks.
Okay, no, you know what? A win's a win. A win's a win.
Oh, they can't help it. It's not their fault that they've had a slightly easier
no,
schedule
it's not.
To
right.
start. It's not their fault. But what we have seen from them so far, Ilya Samsonov
does.
Looks all right. What we have seen from them so far has, of course, been impressive. A lot of people were expecting Vegas to regress a little bit this year. It was almost like expecting Vegas to regress in the West and expecting the Carolina Hurricanes to regress in the in the East. I never expected Vegas to really regress. So I'm not surprised that
I'm not either. So they're 3-0 for the fifth time in franchise history. That's how good this team's been. They haven't been in the league very long and they've started 3-0 for the fifth time. 7-0 back in 23-24 and 3-0 in 22-23. Jack Eichel, one of my favorites to watch. Sorry, Nate McKinnon, I know you're up on the list, but Jack is kind of getting you there and pushing you off. 7 points on this season. And I'm telling you, so many keys to Vegas' success. Say that 10 times fast, I won't. But for Eichel to be healthy and hopefully playing a full 82 games, Vic, and he's a point-per-game guy every season guaranteed. But if he is healthy all season long and he's comfortable with what he's doing and how happy the guy is, because it was a disaster in Buffalo, look, watch out for this guy.
Healthy Mark Stone, Healthy Mark Stone makes a world of difference as well.
Last one in the West, Jordan Eberle. And you put this on the lineup, and I'm very glad you did. I called it. Captain Eberle at 34 in his 15th season is the newly appointed captain of the Seattle Kraken, the second in Kraken history. Not surprised, at least I wasn't. I had him going for that. Ron Francis, Dan Bylsma called him recently and said, hey, you've been tabbed as the captain. And at that point, Vic, the Kraken were the only team that didn't have a captain.
I thought it might be Matty Beniers.
Too young.
Well, that hasn't been applied in other cases, but yes, maybe.
I think it will eventually be Matty
Beniers.
I think too young at this point on a team like Seattle. If he was on another team which was better, I think it would be more of a thing of, oh, you know what? Maybe let's give it to him because there's not going to be a ton of pressure if you're on a better team.
Okay, perhaps. I like the Jordan Eberle. You did call it. You called it about a week before it happened.
I know.
Congratulations to him. I've always liked him as a player back to his days in Edmonton. Mm-hmm. He's always been a fun guy out there. It sounds like he does have the leadership qualities. It's also kind of neat for them to have another one after Gio. So it's neat for them to have another captain again, especially when you were the only team that didn't. I think you need to be in some company if you're going to do that. There needs to be 4 or 5 teams that are captainless. Sure. But, congratulations, Jordan. Good for you.
That was the West. Brian Metzer, don't forget, coming up later on, we'll talk Penguins with Mets and go 77 seconds with 7 questions for Mets. And we're guaranteed to get within the 77 seconds this time. We are, because it's been a disaster. No, the guests have been great, but timing, not good. We'll go East.
We're going to make sure.
This. You still haven't taken out your timer. I want you to do that. We'll go East after this. Bucks and 7, Ryan Payton, Victoria Matiash, brought to you by Sprott.
Welcome back to Pucks and Seven with Ryan Payton and Victoria Madiash.
And we are back, brought to you by Sprott Money, of course. This season, we're excited to team up with Sprott Money, Canada's leading precious metals dealer since 2008. Whether you're just starting out or have an established portfolio, Sprott Money has you covered. Inflation continuing to hover about 3 to 4%. Both gold and silver are increasingly seen as reliable assets. Plus, silver is currently one of the most affordable ways for new investors to start building a precious metals portfolio. Use the promo code PUCKSIN7 for $10 off your first purchase. Visit sprottmoney.ca. That's sprottmoney.ca. We went east. Now we, don't forget too, Brian Metzer coming up in just a bit. We'll talk Penguins with
Mets. I'm
really
looking forward to that.
Yeah, me too.
I'm really, really, really looking forward to that.
Since we've been doing this season, when we've done the video, the people that we've had on, I've talked to for a number of times over the years on different channels and all
sure.
that, on Sirius XM specifically. So it's really good to actually see them. And this is another one of those times. I get to actually see Mets for the first time. He's been covering the Penguins for, 19, 20 years,
ever.
Something like that?
Forever.
For a long time. So we'll go into that with Mets in just a bit. We went west. Let's begin in the east this segment, and we'll talk about the Maple Leafs. I think one of the biggest differences that Craig Berube has brought in already, early in the season, sample size very small, but I saw this in training camp, was that he is fine to go 82 games for players fighting for a position in the roster, in the lineup on any given night. For example, Bobby McMahon, he sat out and then he was back in. There's so many players that are out, and he wants to create that competitive atmosphere. And I think that's great, because you have a lot of guys in the league, of course, who are established and they have their given positions. And yet we know that they're doing that and they're not going anywhere. But every night, every practice, when you're pushing each other, I think that bodes well. And the same thing you can tell now, Vic, is what's happening in Golden Trump.
Oh, it absolutely is. How about that Stolarz, eh?
Woo, got to pick him up in my pool.
I have him in fantasy across the board. I wrote all summer, this is going to be a good pickup. He's a good goaltender. He's now playing under a new defensive system with a new defensive-minded coach in Toronto that also has a lot of stars up front to put the puck in the net as well. No, we haven't seen too much of that yet, but good goalie, good hockey team, a good fantasy pickup, and he has looked good so far. But then we've also seen Dennis Hildeby between the pipes, and that's been really neat to watch as well. See somebody make their NHL debut, look strong doing it, and I think, again, speaks evidentiary to the fact that the Leafs are a well-constructed, coached, defensive team right now. And you know what, Ryan? They do look different.
They do.
They look different.
They do. And again, that's what Berube has done, and that's what he has implemented with the team. So here's my question to you before we move on from the Leafs. Again, we can't spend too much time on them. We'll probably spend a bunch of time within 20, 30 games or something. So when Joe Woll gets healthy and when he's ready to go, here's what I would do as head coach. I'd put him in if he's healthy, see what he does. Say he doesn't play too badly. Fine. If he wins, I'll go back to Stolarz.
I'm tandeming them.
Tandeming?
They're both
okay.
Playing well. Like, why? Why does Joseph Woll get to be the number one without any discussion?
I agree.
Both playing well.
Yep.
It's what has worked for Boston for years
exactly.
up until they split it up now. Because you've got the Swayman-Allmark relationship. You can have the Stolarz relationship.
Yep.
Right? So, and if one of them is playing particularly well, I have no issue with them running with one goalie over the other.
I don't either.
The issue with Joseph Woll mostly is his health, Ryan.
I know.
He just hasn't stayed healthy.
Yeah. He hasn't. Stolarz has the experience, not a ton of experience, but playing, of course, with the Panthers last season, won the Stanley Cup. We know what he did, but I'm with you. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. And if someone plays well one night, you got 2-3 nights off, play him again. It's about the 2 points. That's what it's about. Everybody wants to play. Totally get that. Bruins and the Panthers, this just in, they don't like each other.
I watched that whole game yesterday.
My goodness.
It was fun.
Yeah. Like, watch out. I mean, Florida's saying, hey, you can't beat us quite yet. We knocked you out last year. You can't do it to us yet.
Oh, it is turning into one of the bigger rivalries in the NHL.
Yeah.
And I am here for it.
It was
a lot of fun. The final ended up being the Panthers 4-3, but it did come down right to the very end. It was tough. It was rough. It was physical. You got David Pastrnak, throwing himself around. It was just, it was nasty, but it wasn't hurt other players nasty, no. Cheap stuff.
No.
It was good rough and tumble hockey.
It was. The only issue I had with the whole thing was that Brad Marchand got into it with pretty mm-hmm. much everybody on that team. And when Pastrnak, I forget who he hit, but it was a late hit, I thought. Mm-hmm. And then Nate Schmidt didn't go after him, but he went up to him as if to say, hey, whatever. And then right away, Brad Marchand takes his gloves off and starts going after Schmidt. Doesn't he remember that Pastrnak asked Montgomery last season, hey, can I fight Matthew Tkachuk? He wants to fight. What do you think, coach? Sure, if you want to, go ahead. Pastrnak's a big boy, Brad. Relax. You didn't need to do that at all. And if there was going to be a fight, I don't think there would have been a fight. I know about the sticking up for your teammates. I get it. But Schmidt wasn't going to take Pastrnak's head off. All he was trying to do was say, hey, you shouldn't really do that. That was a late hit. I didn't like it.
You cannot risk your 50-goal scoring guy.
So then why did he fight then last season? Why did he fight Tkachuk? Why did he say to Montgomery?
Do you remember what I said at the time?
No.
I said that was the dumbest thing ever. He should not have free reign to go punching people around. Does everybody forget Vinny LeCavalier and right. Jerome Iginla? Do we just all forget this? If you have a player that's going to score 50 goals and does,
yeah.
you don't put them in a position to break their hands.
No, I know.
I don't care about the rest of it.
All I'm saying is he could have stood up for himself. That's what I'm saying.
Okay. That's Brad. But Brad Marchand thinks that's his job.
Oh my
right?
gosh. Yeah. So. Okay, Brad. Jim Montgomery said this. He said after that loss, really happy with the bottom six. Fourth line's been very, very impressive. Guys in the top six aren't doing their role. So that's not to say,
called
hey,
out.
Let's go, boys. Igor Shesterkin turned down that really, really big contract. He wants a really, 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 really big contract now, Vic. Where's this going?
It was so funny because he played superbly against it was the Red Wings yesterday. Was that yesterday or the day before? My days are running together.
I have no idea.
But he was fantastic. I think he only let in one. It's not right in front of me, so if you see it, let me know. But he was superb, and the opposing coach said, I can understand why he wants more than $88 million.
Right. Yeah, it was against Detroit. Lalonde said that.
And and I'm sure the Rangers really appreciated that message coming from an opposing coach.
Yeah.
You're going to have to pay this guy even more. If Shesterkin is going to go out there night in and night out and surrender only one goal, maybe two, but win hockey games and play well over and over and over again, what do you think the number is going to be? I have gotten into so many arguments with people about this just in the last week or so.
Yeah.
Where do you see it land?
It's crazy that this is one of the bigger stories of this season so far, especially now after he reportedly rejected that $11 million AAV
reportedly. We
contract.
Still have never got confirmation of that,
yeah,
by the way.
That's why I said that, because it was reported and just that was the number floating around. Well, look, you got Carey Price at 10.5, Bobrovsky at 10, Vasilevsky, 9.5. Hellebuck, 8.5, who's playing great. We've talked about him already. Sorokin at 8.25 for 8 years.
8.25
yeah.
for Sorokin.
And if you look at the save percentages, you want to compare the numbers, all that type of stuff. Then if you want to look at the bonus structure on all the contracts too, there's a bunch of performance bonuses, especially on Hellebuck's contract and Bobrovsky's contract. No signing bonuses on theirs, but a signing bonus on Vasilevsky and Price as I'm looking at this right now. I would think based on this, if the number was 11 that he said no to, he's going to go no less than 11.5. He's going to be asking for probably 12. If he doesn't get 12, maybe they'll settle at 11.5. But I'll be honest with you, I'm a little bit shocked that he turned down the 11. I don't think an extra mil is going to make or break him.
There's that. I understand long term he's looking to the future with the cap rising and all the rest of it. I was fighting with somebody about this last week too, though. There's no question that Ilya Sorokin is the best player on the Islanders. I don't think we're going to argue about
that. No argument.
Okay.
Yeah.
And Ilya Sorokin makes 8.25.
Yes.
How can you have the best player on one team make 8.25 playing the same position?
Yeah.
And then you're what? You're going to pay him 12 and a half, 13?
Right.
You can't.
Right.
And then the market can't sustain that going forward either. So even if you make the argument that Shesterkin is the best player on that team, and that's a team with Adam Fox and Artemi Panarin and some other very good players that are also going to help the Rangers win a cup someday.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just him. I'm 11 and a quarter, man. Maybe he just turned down the 11 just to be stubborn, and he's going to turn around going 11 and a quarter, but 11 and a half is probably more realistic. Yeah. I don't understand how you get to command that much money. You are making history. You are now setting the new bar.
And you would have done that by signing for 11. You would have done that by signing for 11, but he wants more than the 500 more that he would have gotten. Not prices 10.5.
Reportedly.
Very good. Yeah. Reportedly 11. And 11, yeah, I'm with you. I think 11.5, he'll ask 12, whatever it is. He's going to be the highest paid goalie at some point.
People are saying 12 and a half. Come and on. I'm just shaking my head.
Enough.
Man.
Enough. All right. So what do you think of the Sens? Here's an interesting statistic. The team can certainly score. They've been doing that quite a bit over the course of this very young season. If you look at some of the playoff teams that have had top 20 point producers, I saw this the other day. 7 of the 16 teams that won a berth in the playoffs last season, they had players on the team that were in and among the NHL's top 10 point getters. Also, if you have playoff teams with players who were among the league's top 20 point getters, that number of teams goes from 7 up to 10. So 10 of 16. My point is that if you make the postseason, one of those 16 teams, you've got to have guys in the top 10 or in the top 20. If Ottawa continues the way they're going now, they'll have the whole team in the top 10 and top 20.
Did you watch any of the Kings Ottawa game?
I did.
It was ludicrous.
Yeah, it was like the LA Rams against the Renegades, the Renegade CFL team.
I have watched. Okay, so the final score was 8-7.
Yeah.
It was silly business. Everybody, both teams, defensive. The fact that they left in Darcy Kemper, the Kings left him in for all 8 goals.
I know. Like a Patrick Waugh thing back in Montreal when they left him in against Detroit.
Ooh la la, and he's a genuine fantasy goaltender too, so I think a lot of fantasy clubs took a mighty, mighty hit
right
on that. I think it was one of those games that you're just looking at both sides, because the Kings aren't exactly expected to light it up either.
No.
You're looking at these two teams, and it was a defensive off night. We're just going to call it that.
Yeah, it was all about the offense.
Time game.
Yeah.
Also, Ryan, Matt and A's are so weird during the week. They just are.
Yeah.
Teams are a little bit different during, and it was, again, a holiday Monday matinee. I don't know. Everybody ate too much turkey the night before or whatever it was, but it was entertaining affair. But I will say this, it was nice to see the Senators score. I don't think they can't let in 7 goals every night.
You think? It'll be like Edmonton back in the 80s. I'm not comparing the two teams, but Edmonton would win how many games? 8-5, 7-5, 7-4. I know they were great, but they outscored you and they weren't the best defensive team.
No, I don't think we're going to see that, though.
No.
But it is nice to see the Senators, after what they went through last year, after what they went through at the beginning of last year with getting into trouble with the league, with Shane Pinto getting suspended and other things that were not handled properly, the ownership issues,
a whole bunch.
They just get to play hockey again. And now you get to see these young players. Josh Norris is healthy for crying out loud.
Yeah,
which
like
is
him.
So lovely to
like
see
him.
After he had, 11 shoulder surgeries. And, it's ridiculous.
And I know that they've been giving up goals, but they have a goaltender. They finally have a goalie.
He's been under the weather. He didn't play yesterday.
Right.
So they could feel better about that because their new star goaltender didn't get lit up for 7.
Right.
That would have stunk. But he's expected to be back later in the week. We're on course talking about Linus Ullmark. But I'm just happy for the Senators. It's just nice to see them come out like that and score some goals. They're going to tighten up defensively, and it was a very entertaining game to watch.
No surprise with this. When they're healthy, the Devils are one of the better teams in the league. They're devilishly good. I don't know what food that is. Do you remember that? There's an ad, something.
It was a cake, wasn't it?
Devilishly good. I can't remember. That would mean Devils, what's it called? Devil's food cake or something like that?
No, we're totally screwing this up.
It was something
completely different. That's it will come to me, though.
Devilishly good. Okay.
It will come.
You talk, and I'll research. So
sure.
I'm kidding. Jake Allen the other night, he won. And in doing so, he became the first goalie ever in history to record a win against all 33 teams. I know 32 with Arizona, but 33 with Utah Hockey Club. When healthy, Vic, they're very good. And they've lost once this season. And this is no surprise because you have them going a long way. You have them in that metro, I think, coming out on top. I have the Rangers. But man, if they can continue this and stay healthy, watch out.
Not even that, Ryan. Right now, 2 of their top defenders are hurt.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
They still have Brett Pesce coming back.
And they don't miss them at the moment.
And they haven't missed them right now. Yeah. And they still have Luke Hughes coming back. You're absolutely right, though. The other Hughes brother, he stays healthy. Nico Hischier stays healthy. Yeah. Timo Meier also hasn't looked that great either yet. Right. And that's something that we were expecting to be better as well. Mm-hmm. But this is... They haven't had the toughest schedule either. But again, you can only play who you were presented to play.
I don't, you know okay? what? I don't even look at the schedule. I don't.
I do. I think you have to think about that. Do you remember last year, Ryan? Do you remember last year when Seattle went on that run and they were smoking people left, right, and center? And then we looked at the schedule coming up.
You
and they
looked
had
at
Vegas
the schedule.
And Colorado.
You looked at the schedule.
And then they lost four straight. Right. Remember?
I do remember. Okay. I just think early on, it's not that big of a deal.
All right. But I am impressed.
Yes.
I'm very impressed by them.
Fair enough.
Especially coming back from Europe, because we've seen teams experience the hiccups in the past.
Hangover. Yeah.
Oh, goodness. Mm-hmm. And just, you
literally.
Know, being at, literally. Yeah, maybe. We're not accusing anybody of anything.
No.
but just coming over and being out of the routine and all the rest of it. And they have. They have looked very impressive so far. Just one loss to the Maple Leafs. That's it.
You're going to take this next one because you know how I feel about the schedule. Buffalo's friendly sked. Off you go. See you okay. in a couple minutes.
You know what? I have
no.
to bring it up.
Uh-huh.
I forgot that we were doing this.
Uh-oh. Seriously? All we've done is talk about friendly schedules.
Yeah, but I don't have Buffalo's right now.
So Buffalo needed the okay. win the other night, and they got one just quick. They
oh,
needed...
oh, boy, did they.
Right.
They needed that.
They needed that because there's rumblings that there's going to be a change in the GM spot in upper management, but it's not mm-hmm. going to be a complete dismissal of that individual who currently holds down that GM position, if that makes any sense. Anyway, go ahead.
They got off to an awful start. Again, they were in Europe, didn't score any goals. We uh-huh. talked about this on our last podcast. And then came back, lost again, but then got a pretty convincing, solid win over a very good Florida Panthers team.
Right.
I think the final was 5-2 in mm-hmm. that. Now you feel, okay, the train is back on the tracks. The fact that Tage Thompson scored as well, I think, was up of the utmost importance.
Well, they're going
vital.
If he doesn't score, they're going nowhere.
And it's bad to say that because you shouldn't be counting on one player. But I suppose in this case, you do need him. He's the engine of that team and he needs to be motoring.
Right.
Now I'm looking at what's because this struck me coming up. So the Sabres have. So they're 1-3 right now. They have the Penguins. OK. Mm-hmm. Middling team. Right. They have the Blue Jackets. Not a middling team.
Right.
Blackhawks.
Mm-hmm.
OK.
Mm-hmm.
And then it gets difficult after that. They have the Stars. But the next three games, mm-hmm. very easily they can go 3-0. I'm just saying they could, should, or 2-1 at worst. Maybe you lose to
yeah,
the Penguins.
Yeah, there are 4 points out of the six that they could probably pen them in. Yes, I agree.
They should be able to.
I agree.
Is my point.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
And then now all of a sudden, everybody was hysterical about the Sabres a week ago. And now the next time you and I do this, 4 days from now, two of those games will have taken place and the Sabres might be in a far more respectable position in the division in the Atlantic. That's all I'm saying.
Right. And they just have to stop fighting at practice as well.
Yeah, that probably will help. I never mind passion, but...
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, enough of that. Anyway, Darlene came out and said, yeah, I probably didn't need to do that, all that type of stuff. But whatever. Hey, if they're going through different things, this is a team that a lot of people don't expect to improve. But you won't tell them any of that on them. You do?
I expect them to improve.
By how much? 2 points?
They're going to be better. They're going to be better than last year. I think you and I both agree
on
that.
Well, I think that they have only up to go, to be honest with you. But I don't see them making a significant improvement.
All right.
Last one. And again, this will never be forgotten, not just this season, but all the seasons to come in the league and all the years to come, period. When the Gaudreaus, Matthew and Johnny were killed tragically over the summertime. Of course, it was a loss that was, I can only imagine, and we can both only imagine how tough that was and how tough it still is, how tough it will continue to be.
For a very long time.
Oh, a very long time. It'll never stop. You can always, whenever this happens to people, they say, you know, we're doing our best, but we just can't. And I totally get that. Anyway, it's really nice to see their dad still getting a chance to get on the ice, whether it's with Philly, now with Columbus, Johnny's old team, mm-hmm. and just getting a chance to get on it and being in the hockey atmosphere again.
And Guy Gaudreau was invited to, join them whenever he wanted.
Yeah.
He chose morning skate yesterday or today. I think it was yesterday. And it's a big night tonight. Again, mention it's October the 15th. Mm-hmm. It is Columbus's home opener. It is going to be an incredibly emotional affair.
Yeah.
And I think that's maybe one of the reasons he did want to participate with the teammates so they could all spend some time together.
Yes,
first.
I agree.
This is going to be a rough one.
Oh, it is.
This is going to be a rough one for everybody, necessarily so, but I think it's going to be really tough. And it was great the fact that he not only was invited to do this, but accepted the invitation. And if it helps anybody here who loved those boys feel a little bit better,
yeah,
in sharing grief and sharing time together, then good.
No, I agree. Well said. We'll take a break and we'll come back. Brian Metzer will join us and we'll talk Penguins. We'll do our 77 seconds with Mets as we continue on Pucks and Seven, brought to you by Sprott Money. Ryan Payton, Victoria Matiash. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to Pucks and Seven with Ryan Payton and Victoria Matiash. Welcome.
And we are back. We're brought to you by Sprott Money. Ryan Payne, Victoria Matiash, Pucks in Seven. Pleased to be joined by Brian Metzer, host on the Penguins Radio Network. He's been covering the Penguins for a long time, so much so he just really laid out his emotions to us about covering the big three in Pittsburgh, Letang, Crosby, and Malkin. They get love, and he doesn't get any love, but we're going to give him love during this show. How you doing, Mets?
I'm great. I appreciate that, Pates. 19 years, and no one seems to care. It's all Sid, Gino, Letang, Mets, forget you, brother. You're out on your own. But yes, it's been quite a while here in Pittsburgh, pushing 20 years. So it's been a lot of fun to watch those quote-unquote kids grow into men that are catching me in age. And boy, doesn't that make you feel old when you see those guys hit a certain point and you feel like they're still young and, you know, young bucks, and they're really not anymore.
Yeah,
it's actually quite interesting because I mirror you. I started writing fantasy 19 years ago.
There you go. I've been reading you that long, honestly. I'm pretty sure.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Now we're
first
all debating ourselves.
First 2 years were talented Mr. Roto, and then I switched to ESPN after a couple of years, but it's been 19 years. And I remember because Sid the Kid was just coming up as well. And Alha, we thought he wasn't going to quite erupt the way he did in his first season, and he made a lot of us look the fool.
Well, you were loving life if you took Sid in like the eighth or ninth round that year in your draft, and then he gave you 100 plus points.
And people did. Yeah.
Hey, we were chatting Mets before we got going here. Lots to get into too about the Penguins. Obviously, then we have 77 seconds with you, so we'll dive into those seven questions. Yeah, I can't wait for that. The preseason, Victoria and I completely on board with it being too long, and you shared your thoughts with me, it is too long. So if that's the case, then what would you do going forward to kind of crunch it down a little bit, but also in keeping with the amount of time that these guys need to train?
I think it wouldn't be a bad idea to maybe, if you wanted to get a true look at some young players, maybe extend those rookie showcases that go on, like the Penguins always go up to Buffalo and do the three-gamer over a weekend. Why don't you give the young guys a week of doing that without vets involved? They can kind of bubble to the surface. You take your best guys and put them into your pro training camp and then allow that group, you know, to come up with a lineup and play maybe four or five games tops. Because, you know, you start playing 7, 8, 9, 10 games. I know it's not up to 10, but guys are getting hurt. Mm-hmm. You're not selling tickets, as I mentioned to you. I feel like Penguins sold, you know, like many teams struggled to sell preseason tickets this year. So it can't be that beneficial for an organization other than looking at talent, but you're not really giving up roster spots to a lot of those guys. Yeah. They're really jockeying for a chance to play for your AHL or ECHL affiliate. Many of them go right back to their junior teams quickly. So I think trim it down just to something more manageable where you're getting a chance to just still evaluate talent, but you're not putting all your A talent at risk as much as putting them through 6-7 games. I know they love the European showcases. Keep that up if you want to sell the game. But over here in the league, just maybe play 4 preseason games with your A lineup, maybe most of those nights, or at least 2 of them. That way you can still have 2 evaluation games and get into the regular season, because I'm sure you're both bracing for it.
Yeah.
With expansion looming, it's not going to shock me if they try and extend the season by a couple games at some point.
Yeah.
So if you're going to throw 2, 3, 4 games on, which might be, you know, more or less, who knows what they're going to do, take some of those preseason games and do it that way. I think that you would rather have a real game that meant something if someone gets hurt, then at least it's something that counts. Mm-hmm. And you do that. Cause I mean, the preseason by the end of it is just mind numbing. You're hating it. You're just anxious for real action.
That's what the NFL did. When they extended the season by the extra game, they sliced off a couple of preseason games to appease the players logically. And it seems to have worked out fine since then. So it's not a bad suggestion at all.
It kind of makes sense, I think, because you're half the time, I think you have one or two true NHLers in your lineup, say, for those early preseason games. And I get that again. I mean, you're evaluating, but none of those guys, I didn't see anybody, you know, across the league. You don't see many guys earning a job. If anything, it's a PTO guy that you threw out there. And are you really getting a true indication? Because he's getting a chance to play against not NHL talent for the most part.
Yeah.
You know, you see him go out and score two or three goals against a B or C lineup, then maybe he gets in against the A squad and he's not quite where he needed to be. That's not always the case, but is it a true evaluation of that NHL player when you have him going up against guys that aren't necessarily going to be NHL players?
I agree with that 100%. Gary Bettman's going to be listening to this, Bryce, so he's going to get on this and change the preseason next year going forward because Metzer said so. Because Metz says that's what it is. Let's talk Penguins. We'll get into Crosby in a bit, Carlson, all these different things too. The expectations going into this season, I know we're into it already very early, but before that, your expectations going in, here's the question. Is this a playoff team?
On paper coming in, I believe that it very much could be, considering the fact that they missed by 1 point 2 years ago and just a couple points last year. And really, for me, the difference was, had they had even an average power play last year, they probably make the playoffs.
It was terrible. It was 30th. 30th
in historically league. Bad. I mean, when I looked at some of the numbers, I think I went back through every year that they were counting power play percentage. So since they started tracking it, last year's team finished, or they weren't, they didn't finish, but they were probably at the midpoint to three quarter point of the season. They were the historically worst Penguins power play, which left me scratching my head so much because no matter what you wanted to say about them 5-on-5, defensively, anything else, they still have the big dogs that should have been able to produce with the extra man. And clearly Erik Karlsson in some way, and I know we'll talk about him in a minute, threw a little wrench in that.
Yeah.
So when I looked at it this year coming in, I said, okay, they could be average on the power play again, hopefully, maybe better, for sure better than last year. If they did that, I felt like they would be able to be a playoff team. Then you see Sid being fairly healthy through the offseason. He's hopefully going to be able to play all the games again. Mm-hmm. You hope that Evgeny Malkin's going to be able to play all the games again. Letang was the wild card coming off of an injury late last season, but he looked fine in training camp. So all that being said, the question mark started with big EK65 then because he missed all of camp, but suddenly the healing hands of God must have come down and got him ready for game one, and he's looked fine. So with those four guys and everything else, I feel like they still could be a playoff team. Then, of course, they went out and laid an egg on opening night, 6-0 against a Stanley Cup contender, and that really scared, I think, a lot of people. But they've been very Penguin-esque and being the roller coaster team that we've known them to be in the last couple of years, because they look terrible in night one, look pretty decent against Detroit, which you should based on where they are and where they are. Toronto had a bad first and then roared back. Then of course you saw the Montreal game last night. The Penguins kind of took it away with a great first period in which they held them without a shot for 13 plus minutes and then let them take the lead and then said, nope, we're going to take this game. So as long as they can have a good power play, I guess is my whole point here. Mm-hmm. They will be a playoff team based on what I've seen and believe from last year. There are other teams that they're neck and neck and shoulder with. They're going to be, you know, improving as well. But I think the Penguins' ability to score with the extra man eventually here should be enough to hopefully get them those few points to make up that gap from the last 2 years.
I know we're just early into it. Actually, I have two questions I want to ask you, so I'm going to ask this one first. I know we're just early into it, but already we're seeming to notice Evgeny Malkin looks better immediately.
Yeah.
Why?
He is like Gino Machino again.
Yeah. I mean,
he's galloping around. He looks confident. He looks smooth. He looks healthy, first and foremost. Mm-hmm. I think that's the biggest thing. The lower body, I know. There were people, local talking heads here in town. They love to point the finger at Geno for a lot of the issues. They're like, oh, you know, the care level, the this, the that. I don't know if it's just the all-time situation of going back and kind of looking at Euros and Russians and saying their care level's not near what it would be if, you know, other than the pride, you know, the proud right. and true Canadian player or something yeah. like that. But there's yeah. guys here that said Geno, he doesn't put the time in the off season. He probably just did the regular level of prep. He didn't do anything above and beyond the way that a Sidney Crosby would. Well, based on what we're seeing, I feel like he had to have put time in. He had to get his lower body healthier because he's skating well, way better than he has the past 2 years. And a probably 60% skater last year, Evgeny Malkin, still put up close to 70 points.
Yep.
If this version that's leading the league in scoring right now, tied for it, is going to be able to continue that pace throughout the year, I know it's all mainly assists. I'll take it. Be a playmaker. Go out, put up some great assist numbers. He came, he scored, was involved in a scoring play off a rush last night with a great speed into the zone, feeding Chris Letang for a goal. Mm-hmm. Scored an empty netter from between the dots mm-hmm. in his own zone, which is something Geno wouldn't have done. I think a less confident or less believing in his own game version of Evgeny Malkin would have tried to beat two guys to skate out of his own zone with the puck and make a play from the neutral zone to the empty net. Last night, he just turned and fired it and decided he was going to score from the length of the ice. So I think he's healthy. I think he's feeling confident. I think he's realizing that, yes, he has a proud legacy as one of the best Russians ever based on his Stanley Cups and the individual accolades that he's built up. But I think he feels he doesn't have many years left, and mm-hmm. he wants to make the best of them right now. And he sees what happens right to his left or his right in his locker room. You know, he sees what Sid does.
Yep.
And he speaks in glowing terms of Sidney Crosby, but a little part of you and your own pride inside of you, I think that gets him wanting to be just as good a player to go back to being that two-headed monster that they've always been throughout the course of their careers. So for me, this version of Geno, I'm glad to hear you recognizing that, Victoria, because a lot of people wouldn't, they just want to point a finger at him and mm-hmm. they're not watching the game and realizing how much different he looks. One last thing, not to get too long-winded. It looks like there's some joy in his game.
Yes. Right now. He looks like yeah. he's having fun again.
Yes. Yeah, there's
it's
a true
palpable.
Yes, that's something that wasn't there, because there's nights where he looks, I don't want to call it worried or concerned, but mm-hmm. you can just tell he's a body language guy.
Mm-hmm.
You can tell when he's out there and things aren't going well for him. And it's not even that he's not doing, you know, something that you know he's capable of. He starts gripping the stick. He's taking too many chances. He's trying to do it all himself. He's reading and reacting off of teammates and, as you just said, having a lot of fun while doing it, which has been fun to watch, because while there have been some bad moments through four games,
yeah.
he's been a bright spot through all four games, in my view. I think he's been one of their best players from start to finish, even against the Rangers. He mm-hmm. looked solid, going to the net, making little plays, you know, getting shots on goal. So I think this version of Geno, if he can stay healthy and continue, that's going to be a feather in the cap of the Pittsburgh Penguins.
The mental game is so big, right? You have to be mentally
sure.
feeling good, and then your play with his talent, as much talent as Geno Malkin mm-hmm. has, the play will certainly come from that. Outside of Malkin, outside of Crosby, Letang, Carlson, give us a couple of guys, maybe more than that, who have impressed you during camp, but have also impressed you so far through the first few games.
The first one that jumps to mind is Lars Eller.
Mm.
You know,
I'm not surprised you say that.
Yeah, a 35-year-old player.
Yep.
But he doesn't look it. I mean, he goes no. out there. And I, you know what? When he signed in Pittsburgh, I mean, we obviously are familiar with these guys because we've all covered the league. But you don't know all the little ins and outs of every player all the time. Well, as soon as I heard that he did his off-season training at the same gym that Chris Letang goes to, I believed that this would be a guy that could be well-conditioned
right.
and do some of these things at his age. And he looks it. I mean, he's a great athlete, a great pro, a great leader, a great defensive two-way guy that can do a little bit of everything. And I will say right now, I have a feeling with him being a free agent after the year, teams will come knocking.
Mm.
If the Penguins aren't in good shape come towards the end of this year, saying, hey, what's it going to take to get Lars Eller? Because that's the kind of guy that you would fancy being on a Stanley Cup roster. But he's done a lot of great things. And in training camp, he played with Rutger McGroarty, who was trying to make the roster,
yep.
and Puljujärvi, who's coming off of the dual hip surgeries and all of that. He looked like a new man coming into this camp as well. And that trio, when they got a chance to play up the lineup during the preseason games, scored a ton of points. I mean, they were, as a trio, putting up goals, putting up assists, doing little things, playing off the rush. And you saw that kind of carry over last night with Puljujärvi getting back in the lineup after he exited against Toronto, setting up a Lars Eller goal off of the rush. They came into the zone. Puljujärvi gets it, throws it down, feeds it to Lars for the one-timer, and he scores the goal. So he's up there for me as somebody that's impressed. Puljujärvi's impressed through camp and into the early going, just based on we didn't know what version of him you were going to get.
Right.
So that's been a good thing. I would say Ricard Raquel looks like his old self, the way he's shooting the puck. There was some news this week. He apparently switched to a quote-unquote Kovalev blade. And what they're saying is the curvature and all of this. And he's been able to get his shot off with such gusto and getting it up into the net. And it's just flinging off of his stick. He's doing those whip shots practically better than I've seen. And the one he scored last night was a true indication, because Gino feeds him like a bear at the zoo from below the goal line, and he just lets it fly into the top of the net. Montembeau had no prayer with the release that he had. So I would say just those three guys among, you know, we know some of these guys are going to look good. Those three are the ones that came in and probably opened my eyes the most as guys that could be productive players for the Penguins. And I'll actually throw one more at you. Cody Glass, based on what he does, has been more impressive than I thought he would be. Because we all see him bouncing around the league, trying to find a foothold. And we all remember when he was, you know, future watch type player. Oh, he's going to be somebody's top prospect. Well, then he bounces around, started to find a home in Nashville, I think, but it didn't necessarily work out. Comes here. He settled in on the Penguins' fourth line. He's a little bit of a physical presence more than they've had, because no one really thinks of the Penguins of being physical. But I think with the additions of guys like him and Kevin Hayes, just being bodies that are bigger, can add a little bit to that bottom six. But Cody's been digging in the corner, fighting off guys, getting pucks loosened up for teammates, set up a Kevin Hayes goal the other night by doing that, just knocking a puck loose along the wall. So that kind of stuff, the intangible part of his game is there. We'll see what comes of his offense, but I've been impressed by that as well.
All right, so you think the Penguins have a shot at making the playoffs. So how does your Metropolitan Division line up? Are they the wild card team? Who do you think is going to take the division? How does that all work itself out?
I think the Penguins probably, I mean, it's so early and I've been already so high and so low with them. I try not to do that with the NHL. But when you're doing post-game shows
it's
every
tough,
night,
Mets. It's tough.
Yeah, you do a post-game show, it's kind of like, they stink. And then you're like, they're never going to make the playoffs. No. And then they win a big game, you know, and it's like, okay, if they can play like this, I think they're going to do something. So all that said, when you look at the Metro, and I just brought up the standings of today, they're sitting in the third spot in the division.
Wow.
I kind of fancy them being in the third or the fourth spot in the division all season. I don't know that they're going to jump and make a run at the division title. Now, I will tell you, they're a team that typically, even when they're bad, finds a way to rip off one of those stretches where it's 12 games where they go like 10-2.
Right.
And you're like, boy, how are they doing this? And that is going to pad their point total a little bit and maybe jump them into the top two for a period of time. So I'll tell you this. I think they'll be a team that can sniff the top two in the division for a few weeks, but I think they're going to hang between 3 and 5 and be fighting for a wild card position just based on the rest of the East. If everybody does what we think that they'll do, I think the Rangers probably win the division, even though the Devils are pretty good so far. And we all kind of expected that now that they have a goaltender, if they could play, you know, it's like if they, and then again, Jake Allen pitches a shutout last night.
Yeah.
So,
yes.
So, I mean, when you see that happen,
love that.
You're like, okay, that's a nice 1-2 punch for them. And that looks like a shrewd move now, because everybody kind of ripped them and said, why would you go out and acquire him if you want to go and get Markstrom? Well, we got them both now. Mm-hmm. So I think those two teams lobby for the top spot. Caps are a work in progress just based on playing one game. I don't know what they're going to do. I think they're going to be a team on the edge trying to fight their way in. Carolina probably becomes the Hurricanes before it's all said and done, just because they always find a way to be good in the regular season, and then getting over the hump's the tough part for them. I think they'll find a way. So I think that the teams probably that are going to make the playoffs out of the Metro. I know everyone loves the Islanders this year. I'm not quite there myself yet. I haven't had a chance to watch them a lot. But people always say, they're the team, they're the team. And I don't know if that's just a love affair that they think that they are the up-and-comer and they make moves or do what. At least here, it seems like even people in Pittsburgh always praise the Islanders as a team that's going to take the step. But I think Jersey and the Rangers fighting for the top spot probably – I think Philly's going to be a little bit better than people think. So maybe Philly and the Islanders fighting with the Penguins in that area for the wild card. So playoff teams, if I have to be put on the spot, Devils, Rangers, Penguins, and I'm going to say that the Flyers eke it out over the Islanders as the four coming out of the Metro.
All right, for the Hurricanes.
I think they're going to struggle enough, even though I just told you they're going to be the Hurricanes. So I just contradicted myself.
It's okay, Mets. We all do it. We all do it.
Hey, so many teams in the division that you can pick. So, you know, rewind it. Carolina Hurricanes. They're going to jump in over the Philadelphia Flyers. That's what I meant.
I'm going to hold you to this. I've written them down. So over the season, we're going to keep an eye on this and see if your predictions come out. I'm sure you saw this too last night. Jake Allen, when he won, beat Utah. He became the first goalie in history to have a win against all 33 franchises. I know there's 32, but all 33. Think about that. Jake, who would have thought Jake Allen, of all people, would be in the record book for that?
Well, you need longevity, and you need to be somewhat
to be around.
Good enough to hang around.
Exactly.
So he's done that.
Okay. Up against the clock. Are you ready? 77 seconds with Mets. Vic, you wanna start this one off?
We're actually going to do this 77 seconds because we have failed miserably so far this season with our podcast.
It's been awful.
It's been being a radio dude myself, I'm going to start a timer so that I can kind of follow along.
Ryan is on me about it. I 11, have the timer
11
going.
Seconds, Mets, per answer, if you think about it. 11 seconds per answer.
It's like a speed round.
You
know, you can win as much money as possible, but you have to get it in like 60 seconds or 77 seconds.
Right.
Okay, here we go.
Off and running. Does Sidney wrap his career with 2,000 points?
Oh, boy. If anybody can do it, Sidney Crosby can, and he just has to play long enough to do so, and I think he will.
Does Ovi break Gretzky's record this season?
As much as it is going to gall me, I think he'll eventually pull it off. I just don't know that he does it this year.
Okay.
And I say gall me because he's a Capital.
I know.
Does he do it this year? Yes or no?
I say no.
Most underrated Penguin right now?
Oh, boy. Jack St. Ivany.
Interesting.
Does Mike Sullivan finish the season in Pittsburgh?
Yes.
Wow. Who wins the Stanley Cup?
I think Florida's going to get back and have to go up against a tough Western opponent, but I think that the salary cap, even though it shoots down back-to-backs, they're going to make a run at it. They're doing it again.
Okay.
Best Metallica / Megadeth song.
Oh, boy. I love Orion. And for Megadeth, I would say you got to go with Peace Sells, even though it's not my favorite Megadeth song, but it's an awesome, iconic song.
The right answer is Nothing Else Matters, by the way. Who is more high maintenance in your household, Anitha Christie or Sprocket?
Definitely Sprocket.
Why?
He is just a pain in the backside of Anitha Christie because he is her little big brother who we got just – like a year, he's going to be three this Halloween. We've had him for 2.5 years. He started half her size, and now he's 2 times her size, and he wants to wrestle and fight and jump all over her, and she's a tripod. So it doesn't work great for her, and she's 10 now, so she's like, doesn't have time for it.
They're both adorable. We are talking about cats for anybody who needs that clarification.
Yes, we are. Mets, this has been a lot of fun. We're going to do this again, and we're going to keep you on track with those predictions in the Metro Division. So thanks again for doing this, as always.
Thank you, Brian.
Anytime. Yeah, thank you so much for having me. I had a blast, and I'm looking forward to doing it again.
This has been Pucks in 7, available on the SiriusXM app and wherever you get your podcasts.